This time on Culture File, one of our favourite guests, pianist Ivan Illich, who, owl-eared listeners may recall, we first met when he was performing Leopold Godowsky's music for left-hand piano at the National Concert Hall. Back then, Ivan had begun exploring the music of New York 20th century composer Morton Feldman, slogan, Polyphony Sucks, and had since been developing a project that brings together romantic music with 20th and 21st century music, possible slogan, It's All Good. We met Ivan and a baby Steinway backstage at the National Concert Hall recently to hear some of the fruits of that project.
There's been kind of an epiphany for me, but it's an epiphany that's lasted 2 years. I've been working on Feldman, learning about him. He's a fascinating character. But more importantly, musically, I find that it's a music that is both contemporary, quite abstract, and unusual in its own way, but also there's a straight connection to the past, in a way which I think is not always evident. I think that composers of Feldman's generation, Boulez and Stockhausen, are the two obvious examples, were people that were trying to do everything in their power to get as far away from the past as possible. And Feldman doesn't have a hang-up that way. There's an interesting idea I've been bouncing around in my head lately, which is when you react against somebody or when you are kind of a rebel, let's say, against your parents, then you're actually letting them influence you more than if you weren't. That means you're not controlling your own choices. Whatever A is, you're going to do B. It's a kind of an automatic contrarian attitude. And therefore, I think it's kind of ironic. It's in some ways, Boulez and Stockhausen were more influenced by the past by doing everything to avoid sounding like it. And Feldman doesn't have that hang up. He accepts the past, and he talks about Mozart and Beethoven and Berlioz in his lectures. And I find that kind of a more healthy attitude as a musician. And, you know, on a more personal level, I don't want to specialize. I see no reason to. I don't see why just because I play Feldman, I should do nothing but contemporary music for the rest of my life. And by the same token, just because I have Feldman on a CD doesn't mean I can't have romantic music, Scriabin, which is in its own way quite contemporary. So these labels don't really work. You know, they're helpful for us as a framework. It's kind of like when you are in college and you learn about history and there are all these kind of generalizations that are made. But it turns out that the real what was really going on was a lot more complicated. Scriabin, I think, is a composer that it is impossible to ignore if you're a pianist. He's the kind of composer where when you're a 13-year-old, sentimental, nostalgic, budding musician, you listen to his pieces over and over again, in particular the early ones that kind of sound like an oral mix between Chekhov and Chopin, if that makes sense. There's a certain kind of very specific Russian character to them, and also something about the tragic, like the short stories or the theater and Chekhov, which I find quite poignant. So this is the prelude at number 1, Opus 16 by Scriabin. I think that he was someone that's so steeped in tradition and he listened to so many concerts that he didn't reject any part of that. He, in a few books, mentions the fact that when he was a child composing, you know, like when he was in his early teens, his first piano works sounded a lot like Scriabin. Now, we don't have those works, but it's interesting that he would admit to it. That means he considers it kind of part of his musical heritage. And, you know, he could have chosen to write in any style, but he chose those harmonic choices. And I find that quite revealing. And in fact, the last pieces he wrote in the last 3 years of his life, in particular the piano works, there's how do you make the piano sound good with abstract sounds? Well, I think the answer is that you put the pedal down, you play something slowly and quietly in much the way Scriabin did. So Scriabin might have done something like, Feldman is. I find that fascinating. It could almost be part of the same piece. Feldman makes a joke that certain composers have favorite notes. You know, they just, like, out of 12 notes, they'll tend to use 7 of them more, even if it's not a tonal context. And he's certainly one of those people. And I love playing with that idea of ambiguity. So in this new album, there's juxtapositions of certain works of John Cage as well that are similar, contemplative, slow, resonant. They're kind of inward-looking. And I love playing with the ambiguity of the tracks gliding by. And all of a sudden, you might ask yourself, well, wait, is this Scriabin now, or is it Cage, or is it Feldman? What am I listening to? And then, you know, you might also ask yourself, does it matter? Scriabin was able to basically concentrate music history in, you know, in 15 years. He went from Chopin to the most abstract piano music ever written, really. I mean, in many ways, because in the piano, we're restricted to these 12 notes. And so, you know, how many chords can you stack on top of each other? And I find that there's kind of an intuitive way that Scriabin does things, again, not dogmatic, not ideological, that allows him to look for the resonances that will sound good and not say to himself, how does this piece mathematically make sense? That's not all the way at all the way that Scriabin composes, and it's quite clear. And I find that endearing. You know, I don't like music where the goal is for everything to add up, you know, kind of like an accountant's composition. And this is broadening now to something which is, in generally speaking, of interest to me, this debate between what the philosophers might call idealists and materialists. You know, idealists would say that being introspective and improving oneself and contemplating is more important than a materialist, who might say that everything has to add up perfectly and what matters is more, not the quality of what's going on. And I find that that's something that it's kind of a thread which you can trace through the history of music. I mean, certain composers, Stravinsky, for example, he's definitely one of these people that likes things to add up. Ravel does too. I mean, he loves everything being so meticulous. And then you have other composers where you can tell that they break their own rules sometimes. And what's important is the expression. It's not the rules themselves.
Sounds reasonable. Ivan Illich there, and you can hear part 2 of that interview next time on Culture File.